Today on the Cooligans, we are joined by the one and only Reggie Cannon, the right back for the Colorado Rapids. We talk about all the drama that he was dealing with in Europe. He is now back in Major League Soccer, and we reconnect with him after interviewing him for the first time in 2017.
Damn, also, did you just say Colorado Rapids?
Colorado.
That's how the kids are saying it now. We also talk about the women's Euros, and we do a little bit of transfer gossip. It gets crazy. This one involves lawyers. Wow, two segments involve lawyers. Shouts to Reggie Cannon. That and more today on the Cooligans. We all know I'm a big fan of bakeries. That's yes. Not a surprise. I don't know. Do you do this? If you see a new bakery, I kind of know the answer already.
I don't know why I'm asking. Something food related, and do I do it? Probably not.
But all right, when you're walking around, you and your lady and the baby take walks, right? You guys go out. Let's go. You know, it was a beautiful day. The other day was like a nice breeze. So me and my lady went for a walk. No baby, right? No one let us borrow it for the walk. So walking around, we see a bakery. Don't you like, I want to stop in and see what's going on. You see a bakery or maybe a new store. Like, oh, this is new. Let's hop in here.
The closest that might happen with is like a gelato shop.
Okay. So there you go. Yeah. And you're like, well, then we got to try the gelato.
Yeah.
All right. So for me, I saw a French, it was a bakery, more of a cheese shop than anything else. And there's a cheese shop in my neighborhood that just opened up. And we went in and there's an insane amount of selection of cheeses. And you know what happened? The people who work there don't help you pick cheese.
They don't know anything about the cheese.
No, they know. They exasperate when you ask them. That's your job, yo. You work at the cheese shop. But I don't know what the difference is between this camembert and that camembert. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. So I hate this cheese shop and I refuse to ever go back in there, even though they have a great selection. So I saw a new cheese shop. I said, yo, let me stop in. It's called Leia, something like that, right? I walk in and I see the lady. There's one lady. I go, oh, you must be Leia from the front. And she goes, yeah, I am. But I didn't say that.
Like
I said,
the princess?
I go, yo, bonjour. It's Star Wars?
Yes.
Okay, wow. Yeesh.
Talk about cheese, bro.
I said, yo, bonjour. And she's like, oh, bonjour. I was like, no, I don't speak French.
Right.
I was like, oh, sorry.
The French love it when you don't speak French and you try to speak in French.
I go, yo, parlez anglais. You know, and she's like, oh, she's like, well, you said bonjour with no accent. I was very impressed. I was like, oh, well, thank you. I go, hey, my wife and I, she's with me. I go, we go to Paris a lot. And she's like, oh, do you? And I said, yeah, we stay at La Marais. We have a nice conversation back and forth. And I said, oh, my God, you have jambon beurre, one of my favorite sandwiches. I said, do you still have some? She's like, yes, I still have some baguettes. Blah, blah, blah. We're talking back and forth. That was the extent of the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, my wife and I, we went. We stayed in La Marais. We stayed in this little place. We had some great restaurants. She's like, oh, I'm glad you liked it. Blah, blah, blah. As soon as we leave, Donna's like, oh, bonjour. Oh, hi. I go to Paris all the time. Please. And I was like, I never said any of those things.
Interesting.
And she's like, yo, you flirt with everybody, and you don't even know when people are flirting with you. I'm like, this woman was asking us both questions. No one was flirting with me. But in my wife's eyes, what happened in reality was I said, oh, bonjour. And in my wife's eyes, I was like, bonjour. I'll leave her for you. I will leave her for you right now.
I mean, Alexis, you've been married long enough. You've been with your wife long enough.
The tone of your voice is that you're going to take her side in this.
No, it's not even about taking her side. It's just that you need to understand what the luteal phase is, bro.
The what?
The luteal phase.
Are you making something up right now?
The luteal phase is just, it's a part of the menstrual cycle. And it's just this time.
Oh, okay. Now I know.
It's just a time where there's a heightened sensitivity to things that might seem kind of innocuous.
I don't think this was this. I think this is more of a being married to an Italian American from New Jersey. I think that's
phase.
I think that overtakes the luteal phase.
So there's just you just gotta be mindful. That's all. It's just operate.
Scared. I think you gotta operate.
You know how there's alert levels in the country. Mm-hmm. You just gotta operate on a different alert level.
I've had friends tell Donna, like, oh yeah, Alexis flirts with everyone, but he doesn't know he's doing it. And I'm like, now I can't defend myself. Well, you put me in a position where you're saying I'm doing it, and I'm not flirting with anybody.
A lot of people in relationships go through this, so we're happy to educate folks. Mm-hmm. But
this is why you come here.
Exactly. But it's a, especially us as comedians, and then as comedians that are like, we're not that far on the spectrum. We're on it. But not super, super far.
By virtue of there being a spectrum, we're all on it.
We're all on it. I'm just saying. But, you know, we're in one direction versus the other. So we are social. We can be charming.
We're affable.
Exactly. You know, that's we can shake hands, you know, and not wash them for the next 2 hours.
I believe the word you're looking for is charming.
Exactly. So that just politeness and charm comes off as... this Cuban man is trying to leave me.
Right? You know what I mean? Or I'm like, I'm rizzing up the cheese shop. You forgot the cut. That's really important. Your boy's not rizzing up. Cut rizma. You got need the cut and the ma in there.
I mean, but that's actually a healthy sign that your partner is still into you.
You know what it is? That I still got it, bro.
You still got
it. Your boy still got it. You know what?
Yeah, there's a, like, I remember Patrice O'Neal used to talk about this, about how that in a relationship that, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with this, but he said that the best kind of relationship is when basically the guy is just chilling. He's obviously a heterosexual relationship. Yeah. It's like when the dude is just chilling and the woman is just completely uncomfortable and unsettled and thinks that you're going to leave her at all times. I don't know why.
That's probably the best for him, right?
It worked for him.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the way attraction sometimes manifests itself is in jealousy.
Oh, 100%.
So
jealousy is a sign that, like, this is a possession of mine that I want to keep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
I'm just letting y'all know the boy still got it. And also, the jambon beurre, pretty fire. But now, I'm really afraid to go back in there and tell the woman that. Because she's like, oh, I know what you're trying to do.
All right. Well, we'll tune into the next episode.
She's like, damn, I see you trying to get your jambon beurre, dude.
I can't wait to tune into the next episode of Couples Therapy. Yeah. It's going to be great, Alexis and
Dee. Remember when we met the lady from that show?
We did. Yeah, that was a cool thing. Anyway.
We recognized
there. All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
As always, chilling, crushing it over on Yahoo Sports. Thank you for joining us. Hot show today.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. It is wild.
I'm going to get you to stop saying hot show, or I'm excited for today's show. I'm going to find a way to get you to stop saying that.
But I can't not say it when we have a fantastic guest like the one that we have. Reggie Cannon, the only
Reggie Cannon, everybody!
Reggie Cannon, fullback for the Colorado Rapids.
Slim Cannon, as you call him.
Okay.
You all hear it.
He's going to be joining us in just a little bit to talk about everything going on with the Colorado Rapids and a little court case that he had to deal with. You know, so I'm happy that Reggie Cannon is finally sorting out, getting paid.
Also, all our day ones, maybe there's a major update.
Exactly.
For those of you who remember the original interview we did with Reggie Cannon, it was a big topic we discussed. There is a big update. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, we were shocked at this. So
you got to stick around for
that. So let's get right to it because Reggie just a great dude and we had an awesome conversation with him and you got to hear it. So here goes. Here's our conversation with the one and only Reggie Cannon.
All right. This is it, baby. I love this.
Yeah, because this is...
We got a follow-up. This is part two.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We got to reconnect with someone we haven't spoken to since, I believe, like, I think it was like late 2017.
Yeah.
That we went to Frisco, Texas.
Right, where everybody wants to go.
Where I summer, right? We all know.
It's a beautiful destination.
We went to Frisco, Texas to hang out with FC Dallas, and we interviewed a bunch of players. And at the time... this gentleman played
ended up being one of our favorite interviews I think we've ever done.
And I also had the moment of at the end, after we did the interviews the next day, FC Dallas played.
You got to go to the game.
I got to go to the game, and I was able to capture and film Reggie, this person, obviously Reggie, receiving the player of the supporters, like player of the year award.
Yeah.
And it was a very emotional moment because, you know, it was like he was crying and the fans were crying. Everybody absolutely loved this guy.
Why don't we ask him questions as opposed to just talk about him?
Colorado Rapids, our homie, biggest Eminem fan you've ever met. We'll talk about it again. The one and only Reggie Cannon. Reggie, welcome back to the Cooligans, man.
Oh, thank you guys for having me, man. It's been quite a journey, and I still remember the interview from all those years ago, so I'm excited to finally come back, man.
Since we've spoken to you last, have you been paid by the Portuguese?
Yes.
Ooh, the money's up, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's before you answer the question, been probably one of the more complicated and difficult things to read and watch. After you left the U.S. to go play in Europe, we were like, yo, this is amazing. While we were
kids getting to test themselves.
After getting to know you, I'm like, this is so cool. I'm so happy for him.
He's out there learning new music.
You got married. I'm like, we follow you. I'm like, I'm just happy that your life is going in the trajectory that I know you wanted it to. And then the drama around just labor, you know, and wages and all this other stuff, and it's like the last thing we wanted for you. So I mean, let's just get it out of the way. You obviously went to Boa Vista, and there were so many problems with unpaid wages, a court case, and arbitration, and all this other stuff. So where what happened? let me just get the quick, so we can just let the audience know. In detail, like kind of what happened and where did it start going wrong?
Yeah, I mean, ever since like the first hour we arrived there, I mean, me and my wife were shocked. Like, we were kept in the airport for 6 hours because the club didn't even sort anything about our arrival and didn't have the work visas prepared. Like, that was the very beginning, you know?
Yo, 6 hours? Day one?
That's bad first impression,
obviously.
Like,
I think they moved us into the Delta Lounge. I think that's where we live, though.
Yeah, so throughout the whole, you know, like, throughout the whole contract, I was there for about 3 years, you know, I was getting paid, like, once every 3 months, almost, you know, and it was very difficult because you just never knew when you were going to get paid. And, you know, you have to step on the field multiple times without, you know, not knowing you're going to get paid, not having the funds and all these things. And you're trying to sell yourself. Teams would come in and, you know, want to buy you, and they would say no. And, you know, it was just difficult to be there. You know, I think there were a lot of things that players, you know, still struggle with to this day that I know that play there. And, you know, it was a very difficult process. It was a big shock for me because, you know, that was one of my only experiences with Europe, you know. Sorry, Mary Parfell.
No, don't worry about it.
But it was difficult. But, you know, I think it ultimately, like I said, I think it made me into a better player, and I think it made me into a better man. Like, I've been through so much adversity through that, you know, and I learned a lot about myself and the people around me. So, you know, ultimately, I ended up terminating my contract because we just still weren't getting paid on time after 3 years. In the court of arbitration, you know, they finally ruled in my favor. So it's finally done and dusted. I can finally move on with that chapter of my life.
Right.
Such an incredible journey, man. And, you know, even throughout all the hardship, like, I'm still so thankful for it, you know. And, you know, hopefully maybe one day I'll see the money, but who knows, man. You know,
that's so.
Wait, you haven't gotten the money actually yet, even though they ruled in your favor?
No, and I doubt I will, to be honest.
How can that be enforced? Who enforces that? FIFA?
I actually know some guys. Now, look. Okay, I don't know how this
goes. We might have to take this off.
I'm going to just say allegedly, but, you know, maybe with enough furnishings from their establishments, we can make up that $400K. I'm just saying. Yeah,
you know, it's enforceable by FIFA, but, I mean, they've ignored a lot of those judgments in the past. You know, that's why they've gotten so many transfer bans. And, you know, I've seen it throughout the years. So, you know, maybe one day, who knows? But at this point, I'm just more happy that I cleared my name than, you know, the money at stake. So
yeah, because and that's the frustrating part is when all this was going on. I think sometimes people will because they maybe know the club or they know the league, they might instinctively sort of side with the club because it's like, what could be going wrong? But then when I would hear anything negative about you, I'm like, they don't know Reggie. Yeah, they don't know Reggie like I know Reggie.
That's not our Reggie.
That's not right. He would never do or say anything disrespectful to anybody. How old were you when you went over there? Because you were pretty young.
Yeah, I was 21, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's obviously a big shock. Obviously, you know, especially American player wants to go play in Europe, and then
at the very least test yourself, see if you have it, right?
And then you get there, but it's like, you don't want to be tested in the sense of like
not financially,
yeah, right? Like you don't want to be there 3 months. You're a professional in Europe and being like, "Yo, dad, can you Zelle me some money?" Like you don't want to do that either.
You're like, "Is my account lying to me, or are you lying to my accountant? Who's at fault here?"
Yeah, man. It sucks. I'm glad that you know that challenging chapter is over. And when this is like a big thing when it comes to Major League Soccer, right? A lot of times people are like, oh, the retirement league, blah, 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 and all the sort of the negatives. But they don't mess with anybody's money.
Nah, that's, man. The direct deposit hits.
It's always there. It's on time. That's what I'm talking about. That gives me. I'm like, honey, let's go shop. He got paid for that.
Yeah. Yo, spend it quick before they dig this out. Like the bank made a mistake.
I don't know what they're going to do with Tam or Gam.
Do y'all accept Tam up in this joint at Whole Foods? Yeah, I'm trying to get this organic chicken.
No, so that is a, I think.
At least it's a well-run organization, which. This is the rough part of, you know, you're a young guy, 21, going to Europe for the first time, trying to build this part of your career and learn and maybe move to a bigger and bigger club and keep testing yourself at the highest levels. And then you got to worry about whether you can keep the lights on or, you know, what if happens if, God forbid, I get injured in this game and they haven't paid me? And what if they terminate the contract? I never get any of that money. It's such a needless stress point for someone in your position.
Can I ask about what the you say that they were that you don't regret the experience. What did you learn from a footballing perspective and as a player? Because I you know remember you did like an ESPN interview. It might have been with Hercules Gomez. I don't remember who it was with. Yeah. But I remember seeing that, and you were very straightforward, and you also. Look like you've matured in probably faster than you even wanted to in that moment. Yeah. But what did you learn as a footballer, and what did you learn as a person going through all that, playing in that league, playing under those stresses, and you know what are the positives now from that?
Yeah, the biggest thing I think I take away from it as a human, as a footballer, is that you know being present. You know, because I think that was the hardest thing. For me is like you're worried constantly, especially in that situation, about the future, about what the future holds, about when I'm going to get paid, what club is going to come in for me, how am I going to get out when this club does come in for me. I have to play well in this next game so that this club come in to scout. Like there's all these things thinking about this next moment. The biggest thing for me was I had to, like, when I started playing my best football is when I was present, I was in the moment. I was like, I'm right here, right now. Future doesn't exist yet. I can make it and I'm going to change it. And that was the biggest thing for me is that I started to play incredible football, and like I said, like clubs came in for me, and the club ultimately just kept saying no over the years, which was difficult. But like I said, like I think that just helped me ultimately as a footballer to like ultimately like improve myself and improve my standing on what it means to be, you know, a good man, a good human, a good husband. And you know, I think that definitely changed me. So I think you can see the maturity. Like I definitely matured faster than I wanted to because I was kind of thrown in with it. But, you know, I'm like I said, like I'm so grateful for that experience because it made me into who I am today. So,
okay. I guess the question for me was, the amount of stress that you were under because of all the different situations that are happening off the pitch probably didn't lead to the most of happiest times in that Boa Vista run. But did you at least enjoy your time at QPR a little bit? Was that like a little bit of a change of pace where at least you got to have some of those experiences that you think about when you're like, I'm going to go to Europe?
Yeah, like QPR was like night and day. Like my wife and I loved London. You know, the club treated us so well. And they've backed me up with this whole case since the beginning, you know? And so like, I'm forever grateful for QPR because they just done such an amazing job. And I finally did get that like proper European football experience where, you know, you go into training. The first thing you're focused on, the only thing you're focused on is football, just playing your best game, you know? And that was, yeah, I felt myself improve as a player while I was there. So like I said, I love my time now. I'm so grateful for that club.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, at QPR, I've gone to the stadium. The first Everton match I'm an Everton fan, so the first Everton match I saw was a Carabao Cup match at
at QPR Stadium,
yeah.
where QPR won in penalties. Yeah. And so it was like a Premier League team losing to a Championship team. Not great, but I got to experience that. And being like, but the stadium and the environment was awesome. Yeah.
We got to get Everton to pay you. We got to get Everton to pay him for being a fan.
So as a player, I know when you left, you were obviously, especially like on the national team, you were getting opportunities. I know that, the plan is always like, oh, go to Europe, obviously get more, get solidify that place on the national team. But with all the challenges, I'm curious about what your time, especially playing in Portugal and like relegation, battling relegation, like as a player, how did that change you, shape you? Because, a lot of American players may not always get that experience.
Yeah, no American player is responsible for, like, you know, the secretary's job, you know, the so way that pressure
is. How did that change
built.
Your philosophy and your mentality around the game, fighting relegation?
Yeah, I think it was the biggest shift away from MLS. Like, I think that's something that we'll never get to experience, you know, if you stay in the league your whole life, is the pressure of every point of that. It makes the difference at the end of the season. Like, it literally, our first season, it came down to the last game and we had to win it. We're down 1-0. If we don't win, we get relegated. We're down 1-0. Keeper saves a penalty. We go up 2-1. We end out the game and our fans are, firing fireworks in the stadium. They're ripping our clothes. Like, there was no experience like that, that I experienced the passion of that. Like, the pressure of that ultimate leading to me improving as a person, as a player, is something that, like, is never taken for granted. And it definitely improves you. Like, it forces you to improve because there's so much that goes into mentally, like, staying focused, staying tough through it, and being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So,
yeah. Well, okay. So, I want to get in detail. You say it forces you to improve. Mm-hmm. What can you, like, maybe one or two things? Is it your first touch? Is it how you go into a tackle? Is it
maybe just a mentality thing?
Because obviously, I've never been under that kind of pressure, and few people in the world have. And we've spoken, and not to say anything negative about Major League Soccer or leagues that don't have promotion relegation. They have their own pressures in their own way. Mm-hmm. But it's like you've got to experience both. So, what was the biggest change that you saw in your game that you could attribute to the fact that you had to fight and be in this stressful game situations?
For me, it was my defensive game. Like, it wasn't a major focus. Like, for me, when I was younger, I was always naturally a good defender. But defensively, like, the type of wingers that were running at you, how many times they're running at you per game, like that, it forced me to be mentally tuned in every single time, to force wingers to be able to play back, like to win every ground duel. Those are things that now, looking back, I feel so comfortable with, players on the wing that are game changers, and I think that definitely, like, that's probably the biggest improvement I got from Europe, is that these guys you have to focus on, how can I improve defensively? Because these guys are, like, they're out for blood. They're going to skin you every time they can,
Yeah, I love it.
And that's something that definitely helped me improve 100%.
Okay.
And that's probably leads to, the call to come back to MLS and the opportunity to come back and a project like what, Colorado Rapids has undertaken over the last, two, three seasons now. Mm-hmm. Seems immense. Your confidence level coming into the league now, where was it at when you got that call where you were like, oh, I'm going to show these boys what it takes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole different Reggie coming in.
I haven't been through what I've been through.
I got lawyers now. You know what I mean?
No, I felt it. Like, and Chris, when we initially had that call, Chris Armas, he was like, Reggie, like, everyone here knows the type of player you are. They know what you've been through. You have had the career where you have that experience now, and that's exactly what we're looking to bring you in for. You have been through it all, essentially. Now that I came back to the league, I feel like it is where I belong, man. I feel confident in my game. I feel like I'm improving, and I still have that open mindset of learning and growing every day. But, man, I'm here, man. And I love it. I love it when wingers get the ball, and I love when they're running at me. Like, it makes me happy. It gives me joy, you know, because I'm excited for that challenge again, you know. That makes me happy, man.
But now you're the veteran presence. So when you're talking to these younger guys that, you know, don't have the experiences that you have, are you, does it sound
what you know about being in the airport 6 hours, young blood?
You know? You know? Yeah, you just, it comes out out of nowhere. Yeah. You're just like, we got to win this game. We're going to get relegated. You know, whatever.
Yeah, there's some like moments like it just comes out. I'm like, what the heck was that? I'm like,
I'm PTSD. Like,
hey, it's over, man. I'm like, dang.
You're like, the gaffer wants to speak to you. Sorry.
So I'm sorry. I meant the coach. My fault. Not the gaffer.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Coach Armis. What's it like being coached by a half Cuban, half Puerto Rican?
Yeah, he's intense, man. And I love playing under him. Yeah. It's the best way I can describe him. Like, he's so focused on every detail, like, you know, and the good part about it is like, he always wants you to improve every little detail, every little thing. But he's got grace on like half side of his brain. He's got grace. And the other side, he's like, I'm going to beat you down until you get it right, because it's going to change in the game. It's going to make the difference in the game. And he's one of the best coaches I've ever played for personally. Like, he's not only the type of coach that's going to push you to be great, but he's also the type of coach that's going to give you the confidence that you need to want to improve and to be able to take those chances and those risks. So, you know, I have the utmost respect for Chris. He's great.
That's great to hear. It's interesting because I don't think I was really paying attention to the national team when he was on it. And then, I obviously he came into my like view, obviously, when he was the coach at Red Bulls. But when you hear people talk about Chris Armis, it's like that. It's just like a very, very highly respected individual in U.S., which is why he's a Hall of Famer.
Also, heavy Long Island accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, you have we gotta talk to Chris at some point. But you have.
Yeah, I did. I headlined a comedy club in Long Island, and I made a couple soccer jokes. And this woman came up to me. She's like, "You really a soccer fan?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Have you ever heard the name Chris Armis?" And I was like, "Of course, yeah." At the time, he was the coach of the New York Red Bulls. I go, "Yeah, he's the first Puerto Rican coach." She goes, "Also half Cuban." I go, "Oh, I didn't. How do you know that?" And she goes, "I'm his mother." I was like, "Oh my god!" Lead with that, lady. I hung out with her and her. I don't know if it was boyfriend or husband. I forget the but nice group. And I'm like, "Yo, tell your son I root for the other team, his biggest rival, but I'm happy that one of us made it now that I know he's Guano."
Yeah. Awesome. So I mentioned the national team before. When, you know, obviously the national team like project right now is obviously is very different from when you left. But the I don't know, you know, a lot of people usually ask players like, have you been in contact with blah, blah, blah. I don't even necessarily care about that. But I'm curious about the going to Europe and obviously with the hope of like solidifying a place in the national team, and with it going the way that it went, like, do you think the drama around the stuff outside of football affected either your place with the national team or your mentality or your connection to the team in some way? Like, what's the plan and mission? Because obviously I know you want to get called up again.
Yeah, you know, I think everything in your life always has a role to play. And I definitely think it definitely did. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm just going to focus on playing my best football to get back there. You know, and I'm just focused on enjoying my football right now and playing my best for the Colorado Rapids and, you know, winning more games, getting the MLS Cup. Like, those are my goals, you know, personally. And that's ultimately what I need to focus on right now. And I know if those things happen, then, you know, the other side will happen too. So, you know, I reminisce about my days with the national team, and, you know, I'm so grateful for that they happened. I think they helped me grow as a person, as a player, and, you know, hopefully I'll be back one day. But, you know, right now I know that if I play my best football, you know, I'll be back there just as the old days. So that's what I'm focused on right now.
Okay. Yeah, and there's a big conversation that's been had over the last, you know, so few months. It seems like ever since Mauricio Pochettino's come in, about the place MLS has on the national team, right? With the national team starters seemingly filled with mostly European-based players. But this last run, especially in the Gold Cup, I think shined a light on a few MLS-based talent that definitely are making a shout to be a part of the squad. Coming back from Europe, are you seeing the level of talent in MLS risen to a new level? And do you think that there are more undiscovered talent within the ranks at MLS that could even be even more of a shout on the national team?
1,000,000,000%. If I had to give a percentage, that MLS has improved significantly since I left. Like, it's a whole different league now. The talent that they brought in, the young talent that's coming up through the ranks that the mentality of the league. Like, I think it's so much improved. And I think even a lot of European players are coming here now and seeing, like, you just, the mentality over there is easy. You know, it's a retirement league, whatever. They come here and they realize that it's a tough league to play in. It's very chaotic. It's very, there's a lot of transition, that high lines, like, especially the way we play. Like, it's a very intense game. You know, I think
Olivier Giroud said, I can't face Reggie Cannon anymore. I gotta leave.
He's like, yo, these dudes won't stop running. I'm an old man. No, don't you see how pretty I am? I don't need to be doing all this, bro.
Scare them away, bro.
No, honestly, I've seen the league improve so much, man. Like, it's night and day, and I got to give credit to what they've done. It's really incredible.
That's awesome. Okay. There's so many players that secretly want to play in MLS. You know, we hear about it all the time from other players and whatnot. They're like, oh, I want to play in MLS one day. I want to play in MLS one day. What do you think is the biggest difference from when you left? Obviously, Messi coming in was huge. In fact, where were you when you found out Messi was coming to MLS?
Oh, my God. I was still in Portugal, I think. And I literally, like, when I saw the news, I literally showed my wife. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, the tell me that I leave. Messi, I'm
what
like,
is
like,
up?
You got to be kidding me.
You're like, is it me?
I'm like, am I the issue? Because then I saw the news came out that Ronaldo might become an MLS too. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I swear. Right, right. Two of these are in the league. When I leave, I'm going to cry. I was so... But, you know, I still haven't had the chance to play against him. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wish. Wow. Like, I hope.
Yeah,
I get
yeah.
To, but,
well, we're recording this before the All-Star game, and it's reported that he is not, him and Jordi Alba are not mm-hmm. going to be playing in the All-Star game. So they will probably face a one-game suspension. We haven't even really talked about this off-air, but he didn't play last year. And it wasn't mm-hmm. about he was injured. It's kind of a bummer. I mean, he should... Yeah. I mean, I understand, like, everybody, the comments are always going to be, he's bigger than the league and blah, blah, blah. But, like, yo, man, the sometimes...
But also, try explaining All-Star game to Lionel Messi. Yeah, yeah, so he'd be like, no,
he's
going to
do a couple of tricks. Yeah. Get the ball into the net.
But
you know,
it's just like,
nice.
It's not like we don't see Lionel Messi on every commercial on TV. He can't just do another little play for 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let him wear a Michelob Ultra kit.
Just
why not?
It's kind of a bummer to not have him around. But obviously, he's brought enough money to the league. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I mentioned Eminem. We had one of our fans' probably favorite moments of our show was interviewing you. And when we were asking you, somebody told us that you were a big Eminem fan. And
we had no idea what we were prepared. Yeah, we were not prepared for how big of a fan you were.
So that was, what, 7 years ago or something, 8 years ago when we last spoke to you. Yeah. Where are we now with the Eminem fandom? We were talking before we were, you know, when we were prepping some questions. One of the questions was, did they play Eminem at your wedding? How much Eminem was played at your wedding?
My wife would have left me before she made the altar if Eminem was playing at my wedding.
Nah, you're like, well, walk down to lose yourself in the moment.
It's gonna be beautiful.
Mom's spaghetti, babe.
The really sad part is I am no longer like the biggest Eminem fan. And
interesting.
It actually hurt me to like separate from that. Cause I was like dialed in. And you guys remember, like everyone on my team was like, dude, you have got to listen to more rap. And I'm like, no, I refuse to. I was a young kid, right? I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I remember Teshuack and Daily, who was in the league at the time. He was like, he put me on all these old rappers. We're talking like Big L. We're talking like Andre 3000, like, you know, all these guys.
Right, right, right.
And I like slowly started gravitating away from Eminem. And I started to like, my top five now, it doesn't include Eminem anymore. Like,
wow. Incredible.
This is huge.
This is.
I know.
We gotta. We're gonna pull the old clip because we gotta give some context. I mean, I'm telling you,
This is like me saying pizza isn't in my top five foods.
100%. Because this was at the time. We all loved Eminem. I mean, I understand.
We're all fans.
There was a time.
But we're not.
But in 2017,
you know those Argentinian guys with Maradona tattooed on their back? That's you with Eminem.
We were just like, it was this wave of love. Like, people still doing this? It was one of those kind of. This is remarkable.
But what's the new top five if you had to give us, or what? Who's in the top ranks right now?
So my favorite rapper of all time is Andre 3000.
This is beautiful. Oh my God.
Andre, I love Three Stacks. And then I have Big L in my top five. Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous. I love that album.
Big L is like a deep cut for a lot of people, especially New Yorkers.
Yeah. And I have Pac and Biggie. You can float them around anywhere around there. Number five, it rotates between Nas and Kendrick for me now. Huge Kendrick fan, remarkable, massive. But I think Nas still takes with his discography.
You know what? I'll be honest, it shifted like crazy. I was listening to this top five and I'm like, there's gonna be a white rapper in here.
No.
There was not.
Didn't make it.
This
Mac Miller's six. Mac Miller is six.
Okay.
We didn't ask him for his top 10.
Remarkable. This is great. This is like I feel like I've watched my kid growing up.
This is like when the first time his son is Mateo, when Mateo goes, I don't like to eat that anymore. One day you're gonna be like, man, you ate that as a baby. That's how this feels.
You're coming up right in front of my eyes. This is incredible.
This is beautiful to hear, Reggie.
I feel...
No Portuguese rappers?
No, I love... You know, I feel bad for what happened in Portugal, but it hardened you, okay?
Yeah, if you took M out the top five and put Big L, something happened to you out there, bro, and I'm glad you went through and you're back out the side.
I love it. Reggie Cannon.
Let's just ask Colorado Rapids, What should the fans expect from the PIDs this season?
Yeah, you know, I think we've got such a dynamic group. And the thing I've talked about since the beginning is consistency. Is we're starting to figure out how to go on little runs here and there, because it used to be win one, lose two, win one, lose three, and now I think the group is approaching that consistency and finding ways to draw games when, you know, we had no shot. Like, we're down 3-0 in Seattle, we find a way to draw the game.
Yeah, fantastic game.
You know, I think this group is really coming together. We're finding all the necessary pieces, and guys' confidence is really like going high now. So I think this group is going to make a deep run. You know, we just got to keep going and ultimately just trust in each other.
Right. Well, look, you can send a message to Zach. Yeah, don't boot it into the middle of the pit. Get back and go, bro. Get back there quickly.
Go to the stands where your momentum is carrying you.
So unlucky. Yeah, I talked like Rusak. He was like, I didn't even look. You know what made him shoot up? Was that the crowd was all ready before the ball got there. They were ooing.
And that makes like, so much sense.
Oh my God. That's that probably remarkable. Happens 1,000 times over. Oh, it's so unlucky.
No, man. No, but
my boy
Zach
has come up big for
that,
us.
That comeback was spectacular. And Zach was definitely part of that comeback 100%. As well. So, yeah. But look,
next time you're near coach and he brings that Rusnak goal up, just say, no. I promise you, the Cuban and Puerto Rican in him will hug you.
He'll come out.
It's the end with the ñe. Oh, ño.
Ño.
Like gnocchi. Just say ño. He will be like, where did you come from? Reggie Cañon.
You're hanging out with too many Cubans. Reggie Cannon, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, best of luck for the rest of the season, you and the rest of the Colorado Rapids. But yeah, you are welcome on this show anytime. You're literally one of our favorite people and players, and we wish you nothing but the best. So welcome back to the Cooligans. Welcome back to MLS, and thank you so much for doing the show, brother.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Reggie Cannon. That was
Shout
amazing.
Shout out to Reg. Big Reg.
Big Reg. Slim Cannon. Disgusting.
I love seeing that he is happy.
Yeah.
He seems happy.
And more matured.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude.
What a great young man he's turned out to be. I sound like I'm 90.
All because of us.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Big L was a bit of a surprise, but let's talk about another big surprise, and that's the finals are set for the Women's Euro.
That's right. The semifinals were hectic.
And, they were wild.
I'm pretty crazy. So
this has been an exciting tournament. If you're not into women's sports, you're alone.
You are, and you're probably single.
Yeah, for
also.
Sure.
So Germany in the semifinal played against Spain. England played against Italy.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, you're like, England, you got this. You're moving right on.
Of course.
No, Italy scores first.
Golazo, too. The whole play was pretty great.
Yeah, a great play. But at the end of the day, England ends up winning. And obviously, some controversy. And this is where we kind of differed on our opinion. The penalty that led to Chloe Kelly's goal.
I don't know how you don't think it was a penalty, or you said it was soft.
It was pretty soft.
I thought it was rock hard. That was a that was a penalty all day.
It was.
Does anyone else say it that way?
This is how we talk on our show. You want to hear other shows talk different ways? Go ahead.
You have your options. There's a lot of podcasts out there.
Yes, we're talking about women's sports. Yeah. And we're being respectful.
And we're
going to
talk about it the same way we talk about everything else, because they deserve it.
So, to me, is it clear and obvious? I would have been fine. I would have honestly been fine if the ref did not call it and VAR is like, hey, take a look at this. That would have felt a little bit better.
And then if that call got overturned and became a penalty, you think that's still...
I would have been like, okay. I mean, somebody else gave their perspective and they thought it was a penalty and shared that information, their opinion to the referee.
If you're a viewer or a listener and you don't know what we're talking about, defender had basically her arms wrapped around Chloe Kelly. Beth Mead. And Beth Mead kind of takes a tumble. They're kind of walking together, if you will, in the box. And then there's a moment where there's a hesitation. And as she falls, sort of in an odd pattern, almost backwards as she's falling. She's like falling on her butt.
Like her leg gives out. And it looked like she fell. Like she just dropped to the ground to try to draw a penalty. I mean,
what you're thinking.
I don't think her leg came up because of the force of the defender grabbing her.
My point is right when there's that hesitation, that stop in motion, right? Just before the fall.
Yeah.
If you are the defender and you let go in that moment, you do not get a penalty called on you. The fact that the defender kept her arms wrapped around her and sort of went down with her partially, she kind of stayed on her feet, but she kind of went down with her. That's why the penalty gets called, because it looks...
But there's nothing that can prove
you didn't
push
her. And
maybe credit to Beth Mead, because I think the reason the defender is sort of falling down with her, or like seeing like she's carrying or pushing Beth Mead down to the ground, is because Beth Mead drops to the ground while she's being held, therefore basically pulling the defender's hands down with her. So kind of a heads up play. I'm not saying
So this is the defender's fault for not letting go. And also it tells me that you held on to her too strongly.
But I don't think the
you're saying
defender
the defender is holding and never forced her to
forced her to fall down. That's all.
That's still a penalty to me.
I think this is a subjective one. Some people, I mean, the internet is kind of having the same exact debate. But in the end, I do think England was going to win the game. So it's not like I think it's the biggest travesty in the world. But it's not great. I didn't love the penalty call. 118th minute. I just like, as a neutral, I'm like, the game... This doesn't need to be called here. I don't think it was that egregious.
I think this is a bit of naivety from the defender. Yeah. I think if the defender knew to remove her arms from around her, or like that moment you put your hands up and the player falls, you could say like, well, fell under her own volition. Yeah. But when you're being held, you kind of lose that ability to say that.
Sure.
So
the defender took a risk by holding on. But
I think for me, the biggest surprise, I mean, once again, you know, I think Alessia Russo, I think in the moments like this, you saw some big misses from her, some shots wide. You came in here to score. You know what I mean? Like, your job is to score here. Score.
So I agree. I thought Italy played well, especially in regulation. And extra time, that's why England was just, they were just better. So there isn't anybody to like specifically target it.
I'm just saying, because I was saying Alessia Russo want to score, because when Adjiman comes in, you see just a massive difference in just the incisiveness in front of goal.
Fresh legs also has a big part to do with it. But
the composure, you know, the ability to get shots off. Lauren James also, there's a swag to this woman right now. I don't see any of the other 21 players on this pitch have.
But Lauren James, she got subbed off in at halftime.
Yeah.
Because they weren't really, it was just odd to see it. And they were mentioning this on the broadcast, but Italy, I didn't realize their professional league is only 3 years old. For whatever reason, I just thought it was a little bit longer than that. So a lot of the players didn't play in Italy. They were playing in different countries. Mm-hmm. But they really like held their own, especially in regulation. They did not give England too many opportunities. But I thought they can hold their heads up high, because I know that was a big undertaking to go up against England. But, you know, shout out to Italy. And I think it just speaks a lot to what this performance, I think, is going to lead to like just a maybe hopefully a bigger investment, more interest on the women's side of the game in Italy and stuff like that. But
yeah, this is a big win for the women's side of the game in Italy.
If it wasn't for the goalkeeper making like just bobbling the ball at the end, then Ajumang doesn't even score that goal. So the other Germany, Spain.
Yeah, we thought maybe there was a chance Germany could take it to Spain. They were,
and they 100% did. And
there were moments where they it could have easily equalized after the first goal, but.
Extra time, Bomati. This was a Ankerchenberger, obviously the Gotham FC goalkeeper, who's been having a stellar tournament.
Yeah.
But she's not without a couple little blemishes, a little mistakes. Yeah,
there's a bobble here and there, right?
But this was bad. I mean, she's at the near post. Bomati is nearly
the
out. Yeah, nearly at the end line. And the ball's about to go out, and she just hits the ball in one of those like I hope it. A deflection, anything can happen.
She shoots for the near post. And obviously every goalkeeper, nobody wants to get beat at the near post.
Yeah.
But you could see Anna Berger kind of pointing to the defender like, oh, she's going to cross. Watch it. And you could see her cheating out a little
split
bit.
Split second.
We're talking about like in a blink you miss it.
Yeah, she points to like, hey, somebody make sure the defenders are covered inside the box. Yeah.
And she was right, by the way, because there was somebody open.
Right.
So she was right to do that. But to not get back to that near post, to keep herself half a step out, just to be like, maybe I'll get the cross if they can't.
Right.
And then to get beaten on the near post on a, you know, a blinder of a shot. This is just a whatever. Maybe this goes.
Still should be stopped.
100%. It's the near post.
100 out of 100 times.
And she's within arm's reach of the post. Yeah. So that little bit of a space.
Left a little bit of a gap. And it's rare to see goalkeepers... where you can see the decision they made in their mind or the prediction that they made in their mind and get it wrong. Like you can, it's just as soon as she points, I don't know
when Bomati was like, oh, then I'm going
to
shoot.
I don't even think that. I think Bomati knew she was going to shoot and Berger was trying to predict like, oh, there might be a cross here. Everybody get on. So it's a moment. It's not indecisiveness. It is, it's one of those like, you're thinking about the rest of the game before that particular play. You're like, I got to get to penalties.
You're not in the present.
You're not in the present. And that's exactly what, and it's just such a bummer because she's had a fantastic tournament and a goal.
Also,
she hates that she gave up.
If you alert the goalkeeper, if you alert your defenders, watch out for the cross, you'd assume your next step is to then hug that goalpost because you're blocking out you're cutting out the near post and now you've alerted your defenders who are going to do their job. To look out for the cross. So again, I personally believe just from looking back at it that Aitana Bomati sensed that that's what the goalkeeper was doing, saw that gap and took a hell of a chance of a shot and it went in. And that's it for Spain and Germany.
I mean, they put up a great fight because a lot of people didn't even think it could go 0-0 into extra time and even get that far for Germany. I think they'll probably be bitter because they had the better goalkeeper to go into penalties.
Yeah.
So they have to be like kind of pissed. Like, oh damn, we didn't get there. But we have a England versus Spain final.
What was the score the last time England played Spain?
I don't know. I know.
I'm going to pull that up because I'm pretty sure Spain absolutely walloped them.
And that game, when is that game? Is that game on Friday, Saturday? I'm assuming it's
should we look this stuff up beforehand? No. July 27th is the final.
Okay.
Which is in 4 days.
So that's Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay. Who do you got? Who do you think's winning?
I think Spain is winning that one. As much as I think England, something about England feels like the team of the moment right now with the way they're playing. Clearly stacked in talent. Again, this feels a little like old school football versus modern football. And Spain is the modern. England is the old school.
England, I mean, they've needed like miracles in these last two games.
They didn't spank them, by the way. They won 2-1. Spain beat England 2-1 in Nations League. Yay. But they lost the previous one. 1-0. England. So this could go either way.
Obviously, they have a chance.
England are very good. They have a ton of talent. Just Spain feels like such a team, you know?
Sure. I would say this result against Germany was probably the biggest shock for it to even go that far. But yeah, I mean, I think most people are going to favor Spain. But England, if they can, it's a nice story. They can obviously repeat as champions of the Euros. But yeah, it should be a good game. I mean, we just finished watching the Germany Spain game, and it's still like, oh man, it would have. I think England Germany might have. I think Spain, they won the World Cup, and there's a little of the Germans almost felt like the underdogs of almost like of the whole tournament, comparatively to the teams that were left outside of Italy or whatever. But yeah, I think this is going to be a fun final. And we'll talk about it, obviously, next week. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we have to talk about some transfers. There's a lot of drama. I mean, obviously, it's the offseason.
Yeah, that kind of happens, right?
But it's a little bit more dramatic than usual. So we'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back. Let's do a little transfer roundup because there's been a lot of movement already especially in Europe. Gyökeres, it's official. Going to Arsenal. We got the here we go, but let's just get right to it. I can ask the Arsenal fan, does he fix the issues with Arsenal getting this prominent striker at the club?
All right, the issues, there's a lot there, right?
Sure.
But the main issue being the fact that there was no striker for the last three seasons, the answer is yes. That immediately puts someone in place who is purely a striker, whose role is, wants to be the goal scorer, wants to stand in front of goal, wants to patrol, the box, wants to do what he has to do in order to score goals. Not a midfielder that we're putting in that position to see if they can do it. So the answer immediately is yes. This is what every Arsenal fan has been waiting for the last three seasons. That's six transfer windows sitting here waiting for y'all to buy a striker. Even this took too long.
Yeah, this is we were talking about it the other day. It's just the drama around transfers with Arsenal seems to be, I don't know, part of the foreplay that is the off season for us.
Okay. All right. It's a tantric transfers is what we're saying here.
Delay the gratification.
Yeah. Oh, but buddy, the load is gonna be so much bigger if you wait. I mean, talking about the money. The load of money.
Exactly. Everybody knew what you were talking about. Yeah. No euphemisms allowed this show.
Of course not. No, we're talking strict facts. And the problem, obviously, was that, you know, Sporting was waiting for the come-ons. I'm sorry, the add-ons to get much bigger.
Right, right. But finally, the deal has climaxed.
And everyone's just smoking a cigarette now.
Even as a non-Arsenal fan, I think this is not even that he's like a good player or that I think he's going to do well. I think there's for the type of player like him to have had the success that he just had, and for him to go to Arsenal, and Fabrizio was kind of saying like he only wanted Arsenal, you know, and that's kind of a positive sign, right?
Look at the list of things. He foregoed $3 million of his own money. I don't know if that's dollars or if that's euros, but $3 million of his own money he foregoed to get the deal done.
Okay.
He asked his agent to not take a fee or to minimize his fee to get the deal done. He refused to pick up the phone for any other club, including pretty late Manchester United, with his former coach who had the tactics that put him in this spotlight,
right?
He refused to accept the phone calls from any of them. He told everyone he only wanted Arsenal so that no one else could come in the fold to that Sporting Club de Portugal.
Were they in the mix?
Yeah. Like, they also were interested. Probably not the money he wanted, but Sporting Club de Portugal.
Daniel Shallowy got on the phone like, bro. Yeah,
Pulido didn't work out, but I think you, my buddy.
Come through. We're going to do some great things.
Yeah. Well, how much you like barbecue? That's a real question. Sporting Club de Portugal, tries to maybe pin a different club against Arsenal to start working the deal to make more money. He refused to allow any of that to happen. He sold his house, moved out of his house, moved his family out of the houses they bought for them in near where Sporting Club de Portugal play. Yeah. All of those things. He did everything. He literally did everything besides put on an Arsenal shirt and walk around. He did everything he possibly could. In fact, if you look at the announcement for the away shirt, it's all you see are hands holding up a shirt over their head. The fans have pinpointed the way the knuckles look to prove that was Jokinis. He literally is already there, be like, all right, I'll hold the shirt, but I'll put it over my head so you can't tell it's me. He did everything he possibly could do to get the deal done. At the end of the day, because of the position Arsenal have been in with transfers the last few years, going back to probably Van Persie leaving and that kind of putting a stain on being an Arsenal player. Because before that, it was the thing. You wanted to play for Arsenal. Damn. He was the first one who was like, I need to go elsewhere to win. That hadn't happened since Thierry Henry had left and, you know, Patrick Vieira had left. It hadn't happened since that time where they felt like you needed to leave Arsenal to win something. It felt like Arsenal was the place players had wanted to go for a very long time. So for
Gyökeres?
For Gyökeres to make it a point to say, like, yo, I want to be a part of Arsenal. Arsenal is the club for me. It also makes Arsenal fans feel good. And I think it adds a little bit, it revitalizes this idea of, like, the Arteta project that kind of has gone a little stale over the last year because it's three seasons in a row finishing in second place.
Sure. And there is a thing as far as during the transfer window of just having, being the whatever prom king where people want to be with you, right? Yeah. Like we all know the Real Madrid and like I've always wanted to play there, right?
I mean, when they call, they only call once.
Exactly, right? So so it's sort of nice that when occasionally somebody's like, Arsenal is that club that they want to end up at. So,
right, not bad. Thank you for making mistakes. Out there, we got some other moves.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama.
Some of them are moves that are collapsing.
Matt Turner, we all knew he already agreed to a deal to Lyon from Nottingham Forest to Lyon. $8 million transfer fee.
He
agreed.
Are they pulling an Al Nassr right now?
L'Equipe just reported that Lyon are trying to basically annul the deal because of Lyon were going to get relegated. They were relegated effectively. They appealed and fought the case, and now they're back in Ligue 1.
Yo, shouts to beating the case, bro.
Exactly. Were you fans of that?
Yo, free Pedro, bro.
Okay.
Did it, by the way. I just think he should be free.
Stay up. They're staying up in Ligue 1, but because of that case, and they have to manage their budget, and I'm sure there's a lot of investigation around their finances and all this other stuff. They're trying to. It's an $8 million deal. They essentially feel like it's irresponsible to sign.
That's their quote.
That's their quote. That's what was reported in L'Equipe, that it's irresponsible to sign a player that is not going to be the number one goalkeeper. They have a goalkeeper.
No, this is like going to a department store and being like, I know it was a 14-day return policy and I'm on the 15th day. But let's just talk about how irresponsible this was of me.
I shouldn't have done this. You didn't have access to my bank account.
$1,100 for a jacket is crazy.
My credit score is very, very low. Yeah, I should have done this.
And I didn't realize this until my wife told me to say this.
Here she is on FaceTime.
I'm just getting done. Don't worry about
it. You want her to yell at you?
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'll tell her where you live. I'll dox you right now if you don't take this back.
This is a, look.
But where would he go? Crystal Palace is like, I'm not giving you back your money.
He is a Nottingham Forest player.
Nottingham Forest. Crystal Palace.
Yeah, so
I'm not giving you that.
Yeah, the owner of Nottingham Forest doesn't seem like
future you, me. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a guy that's like gonna be real chill about
He's not the fun guy to negotiate. Hey, remember that $8 million I had? I'm gonna need that back though. Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna be.
You can have the American.
So, I feel really bad for Matt Turner. Matt Turner's the homie. He's been on the show.
It's 4 years that he's gone without playing.
Regularly,
week in, week out.
If he
doesn't get a European club, and by the way, let's say he forces a stay there, they're gonna have him train with the kids. They're not even gonna let him play. You're not gonna be like, all right, you don't want to leave. You know what? Let's make you the starter. That's not happening. The situation has gone bad.
Yeah,
the milk is soured. It ain't getting unsour from now on. You need to find a European place where you're gonna start. That's at a relatively high level. At the very least, twice a month, you're playing against a high level of competition, maybe even potentially getting into a Champions League or Europa or even conference where you can show the men's national team coach that you are the guy that deserves to be either a number one or back to number one above Matt Freese. If you cannot get that in Europe, you got to go back to MLS.
And even then, as far as his place on the national team, right now, it's Matt Freese's spot to lose. Right?
This is it. We said
he's getting minutes.
Hey, Toulouse is a good team for him to go. Now that you said that, I just thought about that.
Yeah,
damn, I'm better than his agent.
So
you want an $1,100 jacket?
I feel terrible. I hope it works out. But Lyon is just such a good spot for him to be.
It was like
that
perfect level of like underperforming big major club.
Yeah. I really hope it works out. It just sucks, and especially in the report, it's saying like that he's too expensive to be a number one. No, that he's not good enough to be a number one and too expensive to be a number two. Just like already, we just had Brad Friedel on.
Crazy.
We just had Brad Friedel on. Remember, yeah. And a lot of people, it resonated the thing he was saying about career number twos. And that hit hard. And I do not want that moniker for
number two is poop.
Number two.
That's what we call poop.
Number.
You don't want me number two. Sometimes you want to be number one.
Number one is pee-pee. Yeah, that's true.
Yellow diamonds look like pee-pee, bro.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
It's a crazy situation. Actually, you know what it reminds me of? You know, Birdman and Tony Braxton got married after a 15-year relationship. Did you know this?
Birdman and Tony Braxton. I didn't know they knew each other. Buddy. Why are they married?
Not really do we know each other. They're pretty intimate. They got married after a 15-year relationship. They got married. Month later, files for divorce. Tony Braxton. $160 million is what she wants.
Wow.
A month after being together 15 years.
I mean,
she said irreconcilable differences. What irreconcilable in a month?
You couldn't reconcile them in those 15 years?
You didn't notice walking in? But hey, shouts to Tony Braxton, bro.
Okay. All right. Put some respect on Tony Braxton's name.
She ain't taking your name. I'll tell you all
that. Right. Next up, David Hanko. If you're not familiar, he's a center back at Feyenoord. Good player. Mm-hmm. Highly rated on EAFC, if some people may... I've seen that name.
That's why we all know the name.
But he was going to Al Nassr.
Yeah, he was making a big move to the Saudi League.
And out of nowhere, Al Nassr...
He did go. He did go.
He went. And they didn't let him... they didn't let him enter the team hotel. That was the first sign.
Cut to the Jets player meme who can't get the code right on the door.
So they didn't let him in. They didn't let him...
That's not a good... when you show up to a new team...
Yeah, yeah.
And like, nah, you can't come in the hotel.
They're like, nobody here. Nobody here.
Sorry.
Not a good sign.
No vacancies. And you're like, the rest of the team is
right. So... He signs with the team.
They bought him.
He signs
the whole thing.
Gets there. He sells his home.
Yeah.
back.
You don't need it. You're going Saudi.
Clears
baby.
His apartment. He's all the paperwork is done. And then apparently Al Nassr go back on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And very odd situation. Feyenoord.
If he has the same agent as Matt Turner, that guy's having a rough week.
Feyenoord were pissed, and they put out a statement. They were saying that this is incredibly disrespectful, that they've never seen this before.
Because the transfer is done.
Everything is signed. I don't even know how Al Nassr is allowed to do this. It feels like one of those things where the court of arbitration for sport sort of gets mm-hmm. involved and does something. But because I don't know how you agree to it. I don't know. Maybe it was what, like, agreed with the player, but then Al Nassr like didn't probably sign the official thing for the transfer between clubs. I don't know.
I think there's like a time where like the deal is done. You know what I mean?
So basically, as of where we are now, Al Nassr has not given a reason, and maybe something has changed in the time since we read it and now, but Al Nassr has not said a reason why.
At the time of recording, they've not given a reason.
We have no idea why they just like went back on the deal.
But clearly he's disappointed. He's upset. But you gotta move.
Yeah.
Hanko's going to Atletico Madrid.
Which you would think is a better move for his footballing career, but financially, there's no way.
He was like, damn,
I missed out on a little bit.
I almost had that tax-free money.
So I'm sure he's frustrated about that to some degree, but he ends up in a good club, and he's going to be playing with the one and only Johnny Cardoso. So
yeah, that's right.
That's the most excited about.
How about another player going to Spain, Marcus Rashford, official, going to Barcelona on loan.
Look at that. Un culer. Marcus Rashford.
What'd you call me? If only they knew.
No, man.
It's kind of like how Arsenal fans call themselves gooners, and we're like, well, that means what now? I didn't mean that. I got the tattoo on my lower back, it didn't mean that.
Marcus Rashford at Barcelona does feel a little odd.
How? Because we had this conversation right before we started recording.
Yeah.
And I think you're not as confident about this move as everyone else in this room.
I mean, I just haven't seen Marcus Rashford play the way I know he's at his like peak levels in like 5 years, right? So
if he's that player, he's starting at Barcelona.
If he is that player, yeah. I do not think he is that player.
He has the right athleticism to start in a Hansi Flick system.
I agree with that.
I think Robert Lewandowski is a much better, much more pure striker than Marcus Rashford ever will be. Mm-hmm. That said, he's a much older
man. Can we get how many goals Lewandowski scored last season in all competitions?
29?
That's a lot.
He's a bucket.
Rashford is not getting that.
They were beating teams 4-0, 6-0. They bodied Real Madrid.
Yes, but Rashford is not, I mean, respectfully, not coming close. Even with the all competitions.
39. That was old by 10. That's crazy.
I mean, Rashford, if he gets 20, I'd be genuinely impressed.
Over under 20 and a half. You want to make a bet?
Yeah, let's go.
All competitions?
All competitions.
Check my hand. There we go. All right, we got to figure out what the bet is.
All right.
What's the bet?
You have to lose 100 pounds.
What kind of ridiculous... What kind of... Fine, you have to gain 100 pounds. How about that?
Okay, I guess.
We're both going to die.
I'm texting your wife like I told him.
he fell for it.
I think it's working.
My cardiology just slams the pamphlets of yachts on the floor.
We'll figure it out. I don't know.
Cool, fat shame. Second segment. That's crazy.
It's called support.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we're worried. There's actually an intervention in this podcast.
My wife won't go. I've loved you since the moment I met you.
So, all right, 20 half. Yeah. Best of luck to Marcus Rashford.
We have to figure out the bet, real bet.
Okay, we'll do that. All right.
Because I don't want you to gain 100 pounds. And I don't want to have to lose 100 pounds.
Next up, Granit Xhaka to Sunderland. Leaving Bayer Leverkusen. He's like, I don't want Ten Hag anywhere near me.
Yeah. Get this thing off me, bro.
But Granit Xhaka to Sunderland is... sort of a strange move, but when it comes to a team that just got promoted, they need some veteran leadership. He can provide that, and I'm sure coming back to the Premier League will be a good move.
Yeah, sure. But he says he only wants Sunderland.
Yeah, that's
this is a bit.
It's an odd sentence. We haven't heard that in about 35 years.
Yeah. The mayor of Sunderland doesn't even say that. You know what I mean? Like, this is an odd statement to make, especially when there are Saudi teams, presumably who will actually follow through with the transfer, who were interested. Nome SC is one of them. If you don't know Nome, pull up a picture of Nome, Noem. So we could see. It's like a crazy futuristic city. Doesn't exist yet. They're not even going to play there. But they will be playing nearby. And then once that city is done, they'll be playing in the city.
Not even the stadium. The city. Build the city.
Yeah, but it's like if you see a photo of it, it's like the future.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean,
it makes the Jetsons look old. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of crazy what they're planning on doing in the middle of the desert. I'd be interested to see what it is. Mm-hmm. If you want to hire me, just reach out. But it's odd to see, like, all right, you're 32 years old. You've won everything. You've gone invincible in Bundesliga. You've won stuff in Europe. You've played well. You've sort of won back the fans, you know, after that rough start where he took the shirt off. All those things. You've done all these wonderful things. Maybe you go back to a childhood club or something, or a smaller club.
How old
at this
is
point,
he?
32. Like, maybe you go to a league like MLS, or maybe you go to Saudi and make enough money in the next 2-3 years where you're like fully retired. You goody. But to go to Sunderland,
I don't know. He saw the documentary. He's like, I gotta help this club, bro.
Damn, that's what made Rob and Ryan buy Wrexham, and it's making him go to Sunderland.
So it was inspiring.
What a powerful doc.
So we'll see. I mean, it'll be nice to have him back in the Premier League. See what he can do. We'll see what he got. And the last one, Thomas Müller. This was reported by Sky Sports in Germany. We've been trying to. We've been asking around, and we haven't really gotten any confirmation.
We've gotten to the place to get scoops.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
But Thomas Müller is rumored to have two options in MLS, two offers in Major League Soccer, and one of them is with LAFC. The other one, we do not know.
Bro, didn't LAFC decide they're not buying old people no more? Wasn't that their whole thing?
But Thomas Müller is like a different kind of old, right?
That's what they said about Giroud. How'd that work?
He
scored one goal, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was a little bit more than that. I think it was three.
Okay. Wow. Jeez. Buckle my seatbelt.
But Thomas Müller, you know, I always think about Alphonso Davies when he was asked about Thomas Müller, and he said that he is like,
Your kid to play like
that. Well, he was like one of the best players they ever played against. Like, he was like, as far as intelligence, he's like, I know I'm faster than Thomas Müller, but he is just the football IQ, and he knows how to position his body and where to place the ball, where you will never be able to get it. So
yeah, he said like it looks boring and it's not techie. They're like, oh, it's not techie. He's like, he doesn't need to do those
things.
Right,
right, right. So
he knows how to be without it. But this is good. To me, it's a lot like Busquets. Yes. And the young players on your team will learn and be better because you're there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not putting ass in seats.
but that can't be
but
every
that has
single
to be
move.
Part of the investment in MLS. Why would you bring a player like this
if
in?
If it's LAFC, it's understandable because they basically sell out every game. So that is not
sure.
the same issue. They don't need
but
to.
But then what are you going to get back for? How much are they going to pay this guy?
I don't know. We don't know any of
Let's
that.
Let's assume
right?
it's $6, $7 million, which is like what DPs get paid. Where are you getting back?
There's no way they would pay him that much. I don't
Let's
think.
Say he makes $3 million.
Right, right, right.
Okay, is that fair? Can
sure.
you agree with that? Jesus Christ. Trying to have a conversation
with
It
just
guy.
Sounds insane. I mean,
where
like,
are you getting back $3 million by having Thomas Mueller? He's not going to, the fans aren't going to show up to a meet and greet.
You win a trophy, maybe win another MLS Cup or something. I don't know.
They don't need a player that's $3 million to do that.
That is true.
And so, this is, to me, the conundrum with MLS. Unless you go out and get someone who will bring asses to those seats and will sell you tickets, which, again, they don't really need. I don't understand bringing someone in who doesn't immediately make your team all that much better. Yes, the team will be better because Thomas Mueller's in it, but is Thomas Mueller the player that you say that wins us MLS Cup?
I could see them make that case. He's that type of player. Like, he's that good, and he does make the players around him better.
Sure.
So I
can
could,
he withstand? Well, at this point, we'll be half an
half
MLS
a season.
Season.
Yeah, that's why. So, the money is really the determining factor. Like a TAM deal, you know, because there's no way he's not gonna be a DP. That would just make no sense for a player.
This is why
age.
It would have been great if Will Koontz had gotten fired, because then we could just call him and ask him this question, and he wouldn't have to pretend.
We don't wish that.
I don't want you to be fired. What I'm saying is, if you weren't bound by not being able to speak about other coaches or team's deals.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I mean, look, both LAFC, I mean, they just had a Tráfico, and that was LAFC, you would think, would have completely stomped over LA Galaxy, and they did not do that. So maybe Thomas Mueller is the player that they needed to get over
sure.
the Galaxy. All right.
For $3 million
though? All right. Let's wrap up the show here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Shout out to Reggie Cannon for joining us. The homie, the Eminem God, Slim Cannon. That's his name.
What a weird nickname you just made for him.
Slim Reggie? I don't know what you want to call him. But always grateful. Shout out to him and the Colorado Rapids for having him come on. We are back on Monday. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Hit the like button on YouTube. Subscribe. Do all the things you're supposed to do. Alexis, you got any parting words?
Love you guys.